Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, December 3rd, 2014, and with me today, I have my experts in everything. Just in everything. I know. I have a stretch, but whatever.
Oh, I can't wait to meet them. Who's on?
Yeah, I know. It's going to be awesome when they show up. Just absolutely awesome. In the meantime, though, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I am good, although I didn't realize the show ran on Wednesday.
I know. It's,
I'm never here on Wednesday.
It's been my dirty little secret, and now you're in on it. Now you know, and we have to kill you. I'm sorry.
Oh, drats.
Nothing personal, just business.
Fair enough.
And my personal hired assassin, John Martellaro, how are you?
I am actually an expert. You know, an expert is a person who knows more and more about less and less until he knows everything about nothing.
Something for all of us to aspire to. Yeah.
Noted.
Noted. And our sponsor this week is Smile. And I'm glad that that in spite of everything, they are our sponsor. So thank you to them. The first thing that I wanted to dive into today, it's your Hidden Dimensions column from yesterday, John.
Yeah, I roughed Apple up a little bit. It was about time. And I had a warm response from the readers.
And the fact that you have had a warm response is both awesome and at the same time surprising, because it's very easy for people that are sympathetic to Apple to have a knee-jerk reaction and
yes. Yeah. Yes, I expected a few of those in the reader comments. However, that I did not get any.
Well, that's a testament to the quality of our readers.
It's like your case anew.
Yes. So the idea is that Apple's a very wealthy, large company. They have lots of resources. We hear about how much money they have in the bank. And yet, so much seems to be falling through the cracks at Apple. Misery with iPhoto and photo streaming, and misery with iOS upgrades and bugs, misery with Apple not coming out with a really, really good Mac Mini after we waited 723 days for an update. They come out with a processor that isn't as fast as the previous processor, and in many ways is not as good a machine, according to Jim Tanis over at Tech Review, who did a pretty good thrashing of the product. It's got a better graphics processor, and it's got some more modern ports, but he was not totally impressed, and his surmise was that the Mac Mini is simply not a priority at Apple, unquote. And so you wonder, you know, if it's not a priority and Apple only does the best, why is it giving us a half-baked a new Mac Mini? Is it a waypoint, or is it the best they could do, or are there manufacturing constraints, or they just simply don't care about the product? And then another favorite rant of mine is the Apple Thunderbolt display, because I'm in the market for a bigger display for my Mac Pro. And Apple's Thunderbolt display technically dates back to July of 2010. Apple's own product image, the official product image, shows Lion on the display.
You know, I hadn't even realized that until you pointed it out.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really thick along the edges. And so I read one article. I forget. I'd credit the author if I could remember who it was. But he said, you know, the 27-inch Thunderbolt display looks like an old iMac because it's so thin on the edges. And the new iMacs are so thin on the edges and svelte that they look like a, you know, modern display should look. So it's reversed. And so you wonder, well, does Apple care? Are they going to just dump the WQHD 27-inch display and come out with a 5K standalone display? Is Apple interested in displays? What kind of display should one buy with the new awesome black cylinder Mac Pro? Should one buy a display that has USB 2 like Apple's Thunderbolt display and a FireWire 800 port on the back? Is that the appropriate monitor for your Mac Pro?
And, no, I don't think it is, actually.
I don't think so either, because I've been doing some research and I found some pretty nice Asus's and Samsung's and a really nice Hewlett Packard. there's that. And then I saw an article by Ken Segal, who used to work closely with Apple on marketing, about the new ads with Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake being merely okay. And his response to these ads, and he's someone in a position to know because he used to do this kind of thing, is merely okay good enough for Apple? And he didn't think so, and I kind of agree. And then the other thing I got into was the abandonment of professional communities, the pissing off of the video professionals with the Final Cut Pro debacle and the ending of life of Aperture and not knowing where Apple's going. And the problem here is Apple is this, in the old days, Apple used to be able to turn on a dime and come out with something new and better, and we'd say, oh yeah, this is great. But what Apple does now is they take something that, like iMovie, that people really love and they're used to, or Aperture, and instead of gracefully transitioning us into a new technology where we can, you know, continue to use what we've got and transition with confidence in the going forward into the future, Apple kind of really disrupts the Apple cart.
I got to take issue with you actually on this one. There we go. Let's pretend I didn't say that.
Yeah, I know that Aperture hasn't been end of life yet.
No, not even just Aperture, but with iMovie, with iPhoto, with Aperture, Apple is willing to upset the Apple cart to break a few eggs. I don't know. There's some bromide somewhere, but this actually, I think, is one of Apple's strengths. It is annoying in some ways, but the fact that Apple is willing to just move to something that's new because they think it's better is part of Apple's entire thinking differently about everything thing.
Well, that used to be true. I would agree with you that that was true in the past, and we all loved Apple for doing that because they would dramatically improve the user experience. But what the readers are telling me and what I'm sensing from my reading is that Apple isn't doing a very good job of making people happy when they have a large number of customers. And the gracefulness of the transition is not there. And the abruptness and the upsetting of many, many people is dramatic. And we would wish that coincidental with coming out with something dramatically new and better, that Apple would make a better, more graceful transition so that people wouldn't be so upset about what Apple's trying to do. Instead, warmly welcome what Apple's doing. But if you look around, you never see anybody say, oh, wow, this is much better. We all agree. It's a consensus. We warmly welcome these new changes. I'm not seeing that.
Well, to be fair, people don't like change. So when Apple does something, even as simple as, well, it really wasn't that simple, but the transition that they made, which was very abrupt, from ADB to USB, people freaked out. How about when Apple dropped SCSI from computers?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
And there was nothing elegant about those transitions. But
the floppy drive, people were angry about the floppy drives and how dare Apple do this, and Apple doesn't care about its customers. And we did hear a lot of those same noises about many changes that we've come to appreciate.
I agree with those, but I want to get back on track here. The point of the article was that so much of the stuff that Apple's doing now for a large number of loyal customers seems to be at loose ends, that the ripping out of features in iWork to rebuild the technology, the gripes with iCloud not working right and iCloud Drive having problems. It seems like there's so much to do with Apple, and there's so much going on and so much drops through the cracks that one kind of gets the feeling that the product teams are just overwhelmed. And I do have some birdie on my shoulder who confirmed that.
Fair enough. And I will add to that litany of things. I've been finding that Yosemite crashes to the login screen for me I don't know.
More than it should.
Five or six times. Well, it shouldn't happen, no. Period.
Oh,
five
no.
or six times for me since it's been released. That to me is actually pretty out of control.
Yeah, that's significant, yeah. Considering it's not something you were dealing with before.
Yeah, there are definitely holes and some Q&A issues, quality assurance, that is, not Q&A, QA issues. But then this business with the Mac Mini just be taking like seemingly a huge backward step. That's weird.
Yeah, that has me scratching my head.
But I personally separate those things from Apple's willingness to just kill an old way of doing things, especially on the software side, in exchange for something new, even if there's a rebuilding period.
Well, when Apple was a smaller company and it had fewer customers, that mentality worked. You could dramatically transition people.
John,
into something
are you
new.
Are you actually suggesting that Apple should be more like Microsoft and just deal with legacy crap forever for the sake of keeping people mollified?
No, what I'm saying is that Apple has been in the past so self-satisfied and so enamored and so pleased with the idea of jerking us around and dramatically jumping to a new technology for the sake of being state of the art.
I don't think that's ever been the reason, John. I think that's an incredibly negative spin.
No, I think that was the good motivation. I think the idea was that we're going to be state of the art. We're going to dump ADB and go to USB. We're going to dramatically make life better. We're going to be on the cutting edge.
But it wasn't about being on the cutting edge. It was that this thing is not good, so we're going to stop doing it.
Well,
there's a huge difference between that and we like jerking customers around and being state of the art.
I may not have phrased that quite correctly. I think Apple was pleased with itself and its ability to stay cutting edge. And that necessarily meant that its customer base had to be abruptly moved forward. And some people didn't like it and other people wanted to be cutting edge. And it was great. But now that Apple is so big and has so many customers, Apple can't just do it the old way. It has to be much more clever and graceful and considered in
balderdash. John, who's your biggest fan?
You.
I am your biggest fan. You were so wrong here. You were so wrong. I cannot, but you were essentially wanting Apple to be more like Microsoft.
No, I just want their products to be to be briskly and well moved into the future with a warm welcome and pat on the back for a job well done instead of endless headaches. And I think the listeners and the readers have had enough experiences with that to know what I'm talking about. And I think Apple could use some of its $130 billion in cash to apply more resources in a more energetic way to make those transitions.
That's an interesting aspect of this. So one of the things we know about Apple is that Steve Jobs was obsessed with running lean and running scared all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Apple ever said running scared.
Startup mentality.
And again, to your point, John, that this worked for Apple for the longest time. But now with Apple having so many customers and having so many products, I think this idea that Apple should be adding headcount to better address all of its issues.
It may not be headcount. It just may be focus.
No, it's headcount, man. Apple needs more people. Here's my point. Apple needs to properly balance that startup mentality goal with its current size and realize that they can still be running incredibly lean but be bigger than they are.
One of the things I pointed out in the article, Brian, is that the executive team tends to, and this was my experience in the past, is the executive team gets off on exciting new things that are making a lot of money. And so they'll get on the bandwagon, and the marketing people will see the handwriting on the wall, and they'll jump from OS X over to iPod or iPad or iPhone because that's the greatest thing. And all the rate all the hot items on the executive team's radar are on these new issues, and they let things lapse. And so there are pockets within Apple where they're just kind of like left on their own, and they don't get a funding, and they don't get attention, and they don't get direction and get pushed. And that's why we have a Thunderbolt display that's 4 or 5 years old, and that's why we have a Mac Mini that was kind of a yawner, is because we know that the executive team is extremely into the iPhone and all the money it's making the company. And so because the executive team is so small, there isn't enough time and bandwidth for junior vice presidents or junior senior vice presidents or whatever to take ownership of certain key areas and move them along, because I'm telling you this from experience, when they get on a bandwagon, man, you better not get in their way, because everything focuses on the iPhone and everything has to be involved with Apple Pay, and there's just sort of like this corporate momentum and mentality, and it's a bulldozer. And that's why some of these other side products kind of get left in the debris, and that's what I'm complaining about.
Well, okay, and I'm down with that complaint, and I'm down with the Q&A complaint. I'm sorry, doing that again. I'm down with the QA complaint. I'm down with complaining about the overall state of some of Apple's products, but I am not. I see that as a completely separate issue from Apple being willing and able to dump anything that they're doing in pursuit of a better way of doing it. I don't think that should change.
Just so long as the better way of doing it is graceful, allows me to make a file change.
No. Floppy disk, blah, 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 SCSI, blah, 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 FireWire, blah, blah, blah.
You know, there's nobody, I live and breathe change. I can't do this job without being a proponent of rapid change and cutting it. And I've always appreciated Apple for doing that. I'm just saying that it's really rough around the edges these days with a lot of stuff falling through the cracks. That's all I'm saying. I wish it were smoother and better. I like being state of the art. You know, I don't like the idea, looking for a new display. You know, I'm appreciating, you know, the fact that a lot of display makers are using HDMI. A lot of PC makers are using HDMI on their computers instead of DisplayPort, which is much better to save money. And I'm appreciative of this Mac Pro sitting on my desk. It's an awesome computer, and I love it. But I'm seeing too many complaints about bugs and difficulties and headaches amongst the users. And why should a company that's that wealthy and that focused on being the best have so many of these issues, like iOS 8.01 and your Yosemite crashes to the desktop? Mac OS X has been around for what now, 14, almost 14 years. Why should we have crashes back to the login screen?
Well, I think that goes back to Brian saying that Apple needs more manpower. They need to hire more people. They're running too lean and too thin.
I still think they need more local authority in certain divisions to take ownership and leadership and say, look, you're in charge of the Mac Mini line. You know, make it the best. Here's the money. Here's the resources. Hire the people you need to make. Hire the people you need and make this Mac Mini a really awesome product. So when it comes out, Jim Tanis thinks, wow, this is great. This is light years ahead of the old one.
Well, my feeling, based on everything you've said, John, everything you've said, Brian, Apple needs to get out of the display business. They clearly aren't interested.
What?
Yeah, I think it's time for Apple to stop making displays.
Man, yeah, they're probably going to do that.
The idea of having some ugly display from some other company on your desk. That's a really, really annoying. Plus, Apple can't get out of the display business. They make iMacs.
One of the rationales there, Brian, is that when you're a professional and you buy a Mac Pro, you may have very special technical needs that can't be met by Apple building a mass market product. And so they may just be saying, look, if you're going to be that serious about buying a expensive Mac Pro, then you are probably very serious about a specific technology and kind of monitor that you want for your work, and we can't meet that need. So why should we even bother to build, 11D some different kinds of monitors for all these professionals. You go pick the one you need. But the other mentality says, we have this awesome family of products that are headless, like the Mac Mini and the Mac Pro, that need a display. We should provide what we think is their very best product. So there's these two competing ideas. And I'm, right now, it's a toss-up between the two.
Yeah, more headcount would probably assist with this display issue.
Probably, yeah. Hey, we are almost out of time. So I want to wrap up today with our sponsor.
Aha!
Yes, which is Smile Software, and specifically their PDF Pen Scan Plus version 1.5 for the iPhone and iPad. And yeah, it's a great app that lets you essentially turn your iPhone or iPad into a scanner in your pocket. So whatever document you need to digitize, it just uses the camera in your device, makes it happen, and it has OCR built in, so you can take a typed document, turn it into editable text, which is actually really cool, and then you can upload your documents to Dropbox or iCloud so you can access them from other devices as well. And it's totally awesome. And one thing that I didn't realize until I started playing with it a couple days ago, it now does image stabilization. So before, I would occasionally have to take more than one picture of a document because I might have shifted just a little bit as I hit the shutter button. Not anymore. The image stabilization is really awesome. So that was a nice bonus and a very pleasant surprise for me.
Plus, now when someone says, "Is that an iPhone in your pocket? Are you just happy to see me?" You can say, "No, that's just my scanner."
You know, I absolutely can say that, and this is probably why it's for the best that I stay indoors most of the time.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyhow, so thank you to Smile for being our sponsor this week.
Yes. 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 Yes.
They make fantastic products just
support
across the board.
Smile. Smile, yes. Supports us. Smile supports a lot of very, very good podcasts in the Mac community.
They do, and I'm really glad that they do that.
Yes. Yeah.
So I will have a link to PDF Pen Scan Plus version 1.5 in the show notes for today. And so go check that out. And also let Smile know that that you like that they are sponsoring us and other podcasts. And thank you for listening today. Brian, John, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having Smiles. Me.
And Brian, that's an awesome scanner in your pocket.
Thank you. It's very useful.
It's very useful. That's right.
And Brian, I'm your biggest fan.
Aw, thank you, John.
Hugs for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we'll see everyone else tomorrow.